Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Mental health, it's a big and important issue and one that has received more attention over the past few years. When it comes to mental health or mental health afflictions, we know that it's important to have a healthy balance between prayer and the pursuit of professional diagnoses and treatment. But how might mental health professionals further develop the skills needed to compassionately care for others while keeping their Catholic morals at the forefront? The Catholic Psychotherapy Association is a community of mental health professionals promoting the integration of evidence-based mental health practice with the Catholic anthropology of the human person. Joining us today to share more about their upcoming conference for mental health care professionals and students is Maribel Laguna, Board President of the Catholic Psychotherapy Association. Maribel, welcome.
Patrick, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share with you what all the great things that we're doing in the CPA.
Absolutely. We will get into that, but I want to set the stage a little bit. So since the beginning of, since the beginning of COVID-19, since the beginning of the pandemic, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, there's been a lot more spotlights thrown on mental health, and that's a good thing, right?
Certainly. And I think we're in a mental health pandemic, and I've seen it in my own practice. I know a lot of the therapists who are members of the Catholic Psychotherapy Association are reporting something similar. Mm-hmm. And so with each wave of the different variants, we've seen an increase in depression and anxiety, which has subsided some, but we cannot account for the multiple effects of, you know, mental health issues that arose as a result of isolation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that has long-term effects.
Right. We have talked about that here on this program before, but it's good to keep reminding ourselves that, just like you said, there are long-term effects. But I do believe that one of the signs of progress that we have made is that there has been some significant work done reducing kind of the negative stigma around mental illness. We tend to talk about it more freely these days. But let me ask you this. Is that true? And if so, has it really worked? And how much more do we have to go?
Well, I think that the relationship between psychology and Catholicism has been a quite complicated one, and it dates back to the time of Freud. But I promise you that we have made many, many efforts to heal that division and actually have introduced some better theories that more adequately describe the Catholic anthropology of the human person, which has really helped build a foundation for sound psychological practice that is based in Catholic teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that leads me right into, now introduce us to the Catholic Psychotherapy Association. Why do we need one? What's so significant about the Catholic Psychotherapy Association?
Well, the mental health field, psychology specifically, is quite an atheistic field. Mm. And so part of our mission is really to be an answer of integration. And so while maybe some other organizations shy away from the integration of religious practice and psychological practice, you know, we actually welcome it. And part of the reason for that is, if you don't have an adequate anthropology, how can you have an adequate treatment? Mm. And so what we want to do is be a voice for that integration and really attract other mental health practitioners that are looking for that integration as well. Because I think in our work with clients on a day-to-day basis, we see the need for the integration of Catholic teaching and evidence-based psychological practice. Clients really are hungry to learn how to integrate their faith in their healing journey. And so we as practitioners need to welcome, you know, training in those areas. And recently, you know, there's been some psychological studies that do show the effectiveness of religious practice in helping clients heal from psychological disorders. So, for example, there's been some research done on hope, specifically through the realm of positive psychology. And they've found that people who are religiously affiliated have more hope. And so, surprise, surprise,
yeah.
You know, to us as Catholics, you know, this is what we've known actually from ancient Catholic wisdom. And so it's good that the field is now confirming what we've known for a very long time.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple times, Maribel, you've mentioned Catholic anthropology. Just flesh that out a little bit for us. What are we talking about when we're talking about Catholic anthropology, and how does that assist in the Catholic integrating their faith into the practice of mental health care?
Sure. I think we can't talk about Catholic anthropology without turning to St. Thomas Aquinas. And actually, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote about the emotions, of course, in his work. It wasn't maybe written as the emotions. He talks about them specifically as passions. And we see the Summa directly quoted in the Catechism. And I forget the exact number, but I know it's in the 1776 number-ish area. But, you know, he says that the emotions in and of themselves are good. And it's what we do with those emotions that sometimes that's where we go awry. And so when we look at St. Thomas Aquinas, he differentiates between two types of emotions, the assertive emotions and the pleasure emotions. And so I think what he's, and obviously it's in the nature of the emotions to always be guided by reason. And so he there gives us an understanding of the integration between reason and the psychological life. So the emotions specifically. And so when I talk about an adequate anthropology, I'm talking about how do we, when we work with a client, are looking towards the integration of mind, spirit, and body. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at the person as a whole, you know, our understanding of their dignity is sort of elevated. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're trying to teach other therapists to do, is really look at the person as a whole versus, you know, some certain theories, I guess, psychological theories, talk about the separateness, right, of the mind and the body.
Right.
And so we don't want to endorse that so much. We want it to all be connected.
Right, right. Yeah, and that leads me to my next question regarding prayer and mental health care. Specifically, I'm thinking along the lines of, you mentioned already how the psychological field writ large tends to be very atheistic. So assuming that prayer is not very widely endorsed as a way of addressing some of the psychological concerns. On the flip side of things, there may be those who are saying, well, yeah, prayer will take care of everything, but I don't think we're there either, that we want to say we want to pay due attention to right. mental illnesses. So what is the proper relationship between prayer and mental health care?
Well, before addressing the question specifically, I'd like to quote Aristotle,
sure.
Who says, virtue lies in the means. And so anything in excess, you know, even prayer, I know that may sound a little controversial, you know, keeps us from what we have to do in the natural realm. And so remember, everything in moderation, even prayer. And so when we look at, I always compare psychological illnesses to something such as cancer or diabetes. And so when we have cancer or diabetes, right, we pray for healing and all those things, but we also work in the natural realm. We go to the doctor, we get a diagnosis, we follow a treatment plan, we get medication, and those sorts of things. And so I think the theme of the conference sort of captures this, is like grace transforms nature. So what are we doing really on the natural level, and then so that we can have greater spiritual fruits? And so it's important to keep those to imbalances, imbalance, so balancing the spiritual, the physical, and the mental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the thought of integration and holistic care in that way that takes all the aspects of the human person into play or into regard. You mentioned Grace Transforms Nature, which is the title of the upcoming conference, the Catholic Psychotherapy Conference, coming April 28th through 30th, right here to Minneapolis. Why don't you give us an idea of what this conference is all about?
Well, first of all, it's our 20th anniversary.
Hey, congratulations. So nice.
The Catholic Psychotherapy Association started with a group of mental health professionals praying the rosary. Mm. And I find that story so powerful because it sort of indirectly answers your previous questions. Like, look at what can happen when a group of lonely Catholic practitioners get together and form community, and at the same time, and support each other through consults, professional consults, but also pray the rosary. And it was in those humble beginnings of just a group of people praying the rosary that really kind of the idea of the Catholic Psychotherapy Association was born. And so we've been having conferences, usually every year in the beginning, you know, it was every few years, but now we've gotten into this rhythm and our, I guess, maturity as an organization to have them yearly. And every year is a different theme. But for this year, as you mentioned earlier, is Grace Transforms Nature. And our inspiration for that was that as we have come out of the kind of pandemic and as we come out of a lot of conflict in our world today, is that we were seeing that therapists really needed to go back to the roots, back to the foundation of what it means to be Catholic, but also what it means to be a psychotherapist. And so we're going to start off the conference with a day of reflection because it's important for us to be rejuvenated spiritually with a day of reflection that's led by Father John Horn. And then the following session, so the following days, we'll have different sessions regarding just how to be a Catholic psychotherapist, how to be a Catholic psychotherapist who supervises other Catholic psychotherapists, and then also just addressing some trauma issues that we're seeing a lot in our practice, and how do you address trauma according to a Catholic lens. And so there's some formation of newer therapists, the training on that, and then also specific trainings on trauma and things of that sort.
Yeah, I'm just glancing over the schedule here, and it looks like there are some amazing sessions planned. Both the plenary sessions and the breakout sessions look like it covers a wide variety of possibilities in helping to form specifically those involved with Catholic healthcare. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question, is that who do you see this conference as primarily for?
Oh, that's a great question. Our membership consists of Catholic psychotherapists, psychiatrists, social workers, and so more people that are formally trained towards mental health. However, we do have a branch of spiritual directors that are also members. And so this is really just for any professional who's looking to integrate or understand the integration of mental health practice and spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm even intrigued, and I am certainly a layperson when it comes to psychology and psychotherapy. I am certainly a layperson in those things, but there are such great things. Theology and psychotherapy in search of a common language, integrating mm-hmm. body and soul principles for Catholic approach to gender dysphoria. Again, and a number of those are some of the main conferences, but a number of the breakout sessions as well. Well, as we are looking forward to this conference that is coming up, and as we're talking about the integration of prayer and mental health care, let me ask you this. What kind of fruits have you seen either from your own work as a Catholic psychotherapist and integrating prayer and mental health care, or even from in past conferences, since this is your 20th anniversary coming up this year? What kind of fruits have you seen? How have you seen the Lord work in your midst?
Oh, man, this is a very loaded question. I think because when the Lord gives you something, he's so generous, like way more generous than you could ever imagine. And I've experienced his generosity through the Catholic Psychotherapy Association. And just like, I guess I feel overwhelmed even just thinking about how to capture God's generosity. But I'll start from the beginning, which is when I was first invited by actually one of the founding members of the CPA, and I arrived at the conference, I just felt at home. I was like, finally, I feel like I can breathe. I just sighed deeply, and I knew that I was amongst friends, and that there were other people like me out there who wanted to do well clinically, but also were wanting to integrate their faith. And then I just think that through that and just my continued involvement as a volunteer, I've received way more than I've given to the organization. Just being connected with professionals across the United States, and now we're in 9 different countries.
Wow.
And then also just the collegiality and other people encouraging you to grow professionally and vice versa. I mean, it's just incredible what's been happening. But most recently, I would say the greatest testament to our fruit, of the Catholic Psychotherapy Association is that in 2023, we are launching our first ever professional journal.
Hmm. Wow.
And for that to happen,
yeah.
For that to be an answer and really a platform to have a dialogue with other professional organizations, I think it's just amazing.
Wow. Well, that is a great testimonial to the Lord's work in your midst. Maribel, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I'm so grateful that you've taken this time to acquaint us further with the Catholic Psychotherapy Association, your upcoming conference, and the integration of prayer and care when it comes to our mental health. God bless you, Maribel. Thanks for all your work.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, too.
Register for the conference Grace Transforms Nature at archspm.org/events and learn more at catholicpsychotherapy.org. We Minnesotans have a reputation of being passive-aggressive, right? Well, coming up next, expert help on engaging others in conversations about the faith with clarity and charity, not passive or aggressive. We'll be right back.